Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts this morning with gratefulness and thankfulness unto you for another beautiful day and for this opportunity we have to gather in your presence. And we have this assurance in our hearts, O Lord, that you are here even now to meet with us today, not only to help us with all of our needs, but to help us to really enter into praise and worship and to enjoy your presence. And we just ask your covering on this meeting now in Jesus' name. Let us stand, and we're going to have a communion. But before we have communion, I'd like you to sing together an old favorite. It's in the red book. It's on page 12. It's called Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Hazel, would you come to the piano, please? And amen. Some of these old pieces were written, these books don't tell you when they were written, but maybe 100 years ago or 150 years ago, and they still have a deep meaning to us as we sing them because they were inspired by God. And anything that God inspires goes on to eternity. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. And we're tasting a little bit of that glory here during these meetings. Heir of salvation. We are heirs of salvation. Amen. Purchased by God. Purchase of God is the actual words in the song. But we are purchased by God. We've been born by His Spirit and washed in His blood. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture. Amen. Angels descend. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, submission. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. Everybody, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Time on the course, this is my story.
This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We're going to have the communion this morning early because there are some that are needing to get away so they can get home in time for work. And we'd like to ask Brother Mark Sargent and Brian Hannigan to come forward. They're going to serve the communion. And we'd need four deacons as well, but is there some?
Morning. It's wonderful to be here. Am I being heard on the mic? Okay. Bless God. Communion is such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. We partake.
Can't hear you. Can you pull the mic a little closer?
Okay. Maybe up. Is that any better? Okay. For some people, they maybe not know much about it. Most of you know quite a bit, so some will be repetitious. And I was thinking this morning, sometimes if there's a song that I love, I'll sing it all day. Or if there's a song that's on the stereo, whatever, you listen to it all day. But there's other things I would rather not hear. And I'm always praying that God will make His Word alive in our hearts. Because then we want to hear it over and over and over. As the song goes, I love to tell the story. And I hope that's ours. And I pray that for me, and I pray that for you. And my desire is that the communion will not be a ritual in your heart and in your life.
Yes.
But it will be alive.
Yes.
Because there is life in the communion. I enjoyed very much, and those of you who were North Battleford would have too, when Brother Miller spoke about the communion, and he did such a marvelous job of explaining things to us, and it seemed, even though they were alive in my heart, they seemed more alive when he was finished. And you all know how sick Brother Miller was, and he told us that he wanted the communion, because he knew there was life at the communion.
Amen.
But he was not near one of our assemblies. And he was sick. He couldn't go too far. You know, he was so sick. But he found I don't know what denomination, where they served the communion and they used the wine and they used the cup, which they would share. And he just thought and it was almost very similar to what we do. And he was going there on Sundays. But they had one thing different, maybe other things different. You came to the front to have the communion. He said he was the first one there every Sunday at the front. Bless the Lord. And what a wonderful testimony that he was able to come to camp. And he was able after that to visit and not have to worry about his health. Bless the Lord. Bless God. I'm going to turn to Corinthians. First, I want to turn to Exodus 13, 5 and 7. I just want to talk a bit about the bread. Exodus 13, verses 5 to 7. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto you thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep the service in this month. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh month shall be the feast of the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with there in thy quarters. And we serve unleavened bread with our communion. And we serve wine. And some denominations in different assemblies maybe serve grape juice, and maybe don't have a common cup, and maybe they serve leavened bread. And God only holds us responsible for the revelation he has given us, and God will bless them if their heart's in the right place. But when we have the revelation, we want to do it according to the revelation, because that is honorable to God. And we thank him for that revelation. Bless the Lord. And another scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. Paul had, I'm sure, a job that some of the brethren have sometimes, and some of the elders, if they don't enjoy, if there's a problem, you got to kind of try to correct it. Bless the Lord, but it's wonderful that God is always with them and with us and with those that we. But he says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Bless the Lord. The reason I wanted to read that verse is, I just want to mention that most places in the Bible, leaven refers to sin or corruption. And I don't know all the reasons. There's people, some of you may know more about the communion than I know. But I know that's one of the reasons we have unleavened bread. We want everything to be as pure and equally as possible when we are partaking of the Lord's Supper and honoring the Lord. And that's also one of the reasons we use wine, because wine has been fermented, and it's about as pure a thing as you can get. There's nothing, even gold will rust, or silver, whatever they call it. It's about as pure as you can get on this earth, and it's a sign of incorruption. And of course, we know the Lord is incorruptible. Bless the Lord. Also, the communion is mentioned way back in the Old Testament in Exodus 12. I'm not going to turn to it. Where they had, which story you probably know, where they put the blood on the doorposts and the sides, and they sacrificed the lamb inside, and the death angel came through, and those that were not under the blood were slain, the firstborn. And symbolic, not just symbolic, it was a very real experience, but it was a foreshadowing of the coming of Christ, dying on our behalf as the Lamb of God. And what he did is much greater. Those lives were saved, and not everybody's going to die, but Christ has came that all may be alive. Yes. The real is always much greater than the foreshadow. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. A wonderful example Brother Miller gave us, of like when the bread is blessed and the cup is blessed, life is imparted. Because we can pray in God's name, because Jesus told us to have the communion. If you were an employee for somebody and you went to the, say, the wholesaler to get something on their form, you'd be sent in their name and you would sign a paper and they give you what you want because he sent you. And it's the same with our communion. The Lord says to have the communion in remembrance of him. It's for more than in remembrance of him, but that's part of it. So when we bless the bread, it is in Jesus' name. Lots of times you'll hear people pray and they'll say afterwards, in Jesus' name. Well, it may be in Jesus' name or it may not be in Jesus' name. It depends if Jesus sent them or Jesus asked them. If he didn't, it's just some words. Bless God. Glory to God. And I'm not going to be long. I was going to say this before you guys had to get up and stand here, but I was thinking that might be a bit better. But I saw one preacher one time on TV, and I didn't watch TV preachers, but where I was there watching, he always had everybody stand up when he gave his sermon. I guess he didn't want anybody to go to sleep. Bless God. So two very well-known sections, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 15 to 17. Paul's speaking, he says, I speak as to wise man, judge ye what I say. How many things we need God's wisdom to understand? And this is something very wonderful. I pray for God's wisdom to make it alive to our hearts. He says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? This is in the Bible, so it's not me. This communion, he's telling us about it. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And I think that verse 17 is one we find a little hard to understand, but we know it's true because it's in the Bible. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Bless the Lord. One more piece of scripture in the next chapter, chapter 11. Verses 23 to 31. Paul speaking again. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye all oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So he wants us to do it often, and we do it once a week. It's his command to us. Bless the Lord. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I'm so glad the brethren have given us teaching on these two verses because they're often misunderstood. There are many, I don't know what, because many would be a good word, people in churches who maybe the communion will come and they want to pass it because they figure they're not worthy because they've examined themselves. But that's not, as Brother Swan was speaking last night, that's not what God's idea is. God knows all our shortcomings and all our lacks. And he wants us to examine ourselves and to say to the Lord, Lord, I need your help.
Yes.
That's what that verse is about.
Yes.
Even though it's taught some places otherwise, it just doesn't seem practical to me for the reason that, do you know anybody that's 100% perfect? Maybe there's some people that are almost perfect. I couldn't say, but that'd be a big question mark to me. So if the verse said, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily, he shall be guilty of the body of the blood of the Lord, the communion will always be sitting at the front. And we would be saying to ourselves, I hope someday somebody's able to make themselves that good. Well, that's not worshiping God, that's worshiping man, isn't it? So you examine yourself, you say to the Lord, I need your help. And that's why the Lord came, to give you life, ever-increasing life. Hallelujah. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. Bless the Lord.
Your death as we look forward to your return. Father, we bless this bread, your body that was given for us on the cross. Lord, we instill the virtue of healing into this bread and this cup by virtue of the price that you paid on the cross. We pray, my Father, as we partake of the bread this morning, that those that need a touch in their bodies, that there will be a touch of healing in the partaking of your body through this bread. We pray for healing virtue. We bless it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
To examine yourself and look to the Lord. Let's all partake together.
Lord, we thank you again today so much for your shed blood on Calvary, the great price you were willing to pay on our behalf, hallelujah. Ah, bless thy wonderful name, O Lord, hallelujah. And you've given not only us eternal life, but true life, something we have not even yet experienced. We thank you for your tremendous love for us. Father, bless thy name. We ask your blessing on this cup in your name, knowing that you have ordained it. We bless this cup this morning. Amen.
Christ has set me free.
We have the musicians come back to the instruments, please. If you could stand, just in your red books, most of you would know this, but page 20 in the front of the red book. I could have that wrong. I've got the wrong number. His love is wonderful to me is the piece that's on my heart. I thought it was page 20. I better look it up here. There we go. I think most of us know this, but in case there's somebody here who doesn't, you can join with us and learn it. And amen. His love is wonderful to me. His love is wonderful to me, for Jesus loved me so, he did to Calvary grow. It says the key of C.
His love is wonderful. Song to Jesus, his love is wonderful to me. His love is wonderful to me. For Jesus loved me so, he did to Calvary go. Sing it again. His love is wonderful to me. His love is wonderful to me. For Jesus' love. Oh, yes. Yes. Amen.
Praise his name forevermore. I'll praise his name forevermore. I'll praise. I'll praise His name forevermore. I'll praise His name forevermore. I'll praise His name forevermore. The same as His lovely name. Amen. Sing it with all of your heart.
Jesus is the sweetest name,
and He's just the same. Amen. As His lovely name. That's the reason why Paul Roberts has a song in his heart. You come on up here and we'll sing this again. He's going to want to sing a song too, but let's just sing that again. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Just tell Him that tonight, this morning. Tell Him that He's the sweetest name that you know. With all of your heart, express that feeling that's deep down in your heart. Oh, glory to God. Just express how you feel to Him. And you sing this song. Just don't whisper it. Sing it with all of your might. You may not be it. You may sing like a crow. God doesn't care. Amen. Amen, Paul. Oh, glory. God doesn't. He hears the crows and He hears the sparrows. He hears the canary. But all He wants to know is He wants to hear you express His love to Him. He wants to hear you tell Him that you adore Him with all of your heart, with all of your might, with all of your power. Amen. Sing it again.
Just the same.
Paul said he had a song in his heart and he was just about ready to burst. So
that feeling hasn't gone away. Thank you. I have God has put a melody on my heart, and it's been there for quite a while, and I need to get it out and let Him know that I love Him. But before I do that, I have a little bit of something, a little story I wanted to let you know.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
My late father-in-law, Richard Baines, died before I got to know him. And when I was dating Michelle, she said how much I remind me of him. My brown eyes, my handsome good looks, and my humor. Michelle told me that he was a very good man. And I'm going to try to follow in his footsteps.
Amen.
Under the Lord's watching. She also said that he loved music. And he loved to do that. And he loved to play the harmonica. Couple years back, I bought this harmonica, and he's put a song in my heart. And it's a little bit of a made-up song, but every word, every note is important. I'm going to try to play this. I'll just step back because I don't want to take the microphone out. And Brother Marcus opened up the meeting and said, if your heart's a pounding and your knees are shaking, you come on up and if you have a song. And today it is full on.
Amen. I love you.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Near to the heart of God. This just seems to come. I think it's on 100 and about 104, some 102. Amen. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. Really blessed my heart. Yeah, it's page 104 in your book. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. There's a prayer request here. Brother Brian is going to minister to us. I'd like us to sing this song, Near to the Heart of God. And Brian could come and we'll pray for this prayer request. And then you can just minister to us. God is here. I mean, it's just a wonderful presence of the Lord here in our midst this morning. And can you feel Him? You know, sometimes you can just feel the presence of the Lord, can't you? It just overtakes you. You ever had that feeling where you're just sort of overtaken by the presence of the Lord?
Right now.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You cannot find it anywhere else. You can go to you can pay hundreds of dollars to go and hear the best singer in the world. You can go pay hundreds of dollars to these massive auditoriums and listen to these singers and that they're proclaimed the very, very best. Oh, and sure, some of them have beautiful voices. But to be in the very presence of the one that created all the universe. And to know that He's here right with us, near to the heart of God. There's nothing like it, is there? There is a place of quiet rest here to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest here to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, let sing the next verse together. Just listen.
There is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God. A place where we are safe.
This is a request from Roger Camel, I think. Please pray for Rob. Rob texted me yesterday if there was a prayer meeting. Rob knows the Lord, has known the Lord since 1983, but is also sick and carries an oxygen tank, yet comes to prayer meeting when possible. Amen.
Amen.
The church is designed to take authority.
Amen.
That's what Christ in us wants to do, and he's capable. So right now we're going to ask God for a complete change.
And when we were at the summer camp, Brian's father, Brother Albert, reminded us that when a prayer request is brought to the front of the altar, that we all have a responsibility to hold that prayer request up together.
Yes, yeah.
We are just the instruments up here that God is using to recite the prayer and say the prayer. But your prayers are vitally important today.
Yes,
in this.
Yes, hallelujah. Lord, we do join our hearts in agreement right now before you.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you, dear Lord, for your capabilities, for the complete restoration that you have planned for Rob in even the beginning today, dear Lord, that as we reach our hearts out to you, Lord, that you would roll back the years, and roll back the injuries, roll back the scar tissue, whatever it is, Lord, and pray that you would give him new lungs and whatever needs your touch, Lord, that he would feel a transformation today, and that he would give you the glory. And we're in agreement today before you, dear Lord, with one heart and one mind, so you can add that blessing to this man. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
There's another prayer request here. If you could just stand with us as we pray for this request. Please pray for my brother Robert Zwack from Pennsylvania. He has cancer in his chest and neck and is undergoing chemotherapy. He's lost 85 pounds due to sickness, poor appetite. I'm asking for his complete recovery from the cancer and for his doctors too. And also please pray for my other brother, Jeffrey, in California. He fell and damaged his spinal cord in the neck region about 2 months ago. Emergency surgery was successful, but he still cannot move his legs or use his hands. He is in rehab and can move his arms. I'm asking God for recovery from the nerve damage and, if necessary, to be allowed to remain in rehab as long as needed. Thank you from David Zwack.
Amen.
Amen. I'll pray for the first one, then you can pray for some. Father, we pray for Robert Zwack, who resides in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And for us, distance, that's a long ways away. But for you, it is nothing. You are there in Pennsylvania as much as you are here right now, because we've asked you to stand in his presence. And he has cancer, Lord, in his chest and his neck, and undergoing chemotherapy. And we ask in the name of Jesus that you would stretch forth your healing hand and you would touch Robert Zwack today, that you would heal him completely, and that you would get the praise and the glory. We also pray for his doctors too, that they would recognize the healing power of Jesus, Lord, as you are doing a work within his life. We thank you for the covering for our families, and David is here today, and he's praying this request for his brother.
Hallelujah.
And we appreciate it. And we hold our hands out to his brother Robert now and ask that you would just remove this cancer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for the Zwack family and for the joy that we have of having David here. We pray, dear Lord, that the same anointing that is in this room would just be manifest in the whole family, dear Lord, right now. We thank you for Jeffrey, dear Lord, for the many times that he has been a good brother to David, dear Lord. And we just pray, Father, that you would do what doctors can cannot do. We pray, dear Lord, that every effort of the doctors would bring success, but that you would just top it up with your blessing, dear Lord. We ask for that healing touch, even extending your hand upon him today, dear Lord, and reversing all the damage, we pray. Father, just bless him beyond what he could ask or think, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Go ahead, brother.
Praise.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you very much for your attendance and willing to stand and pray with us.
Praise God.
Amen. Musicians, thank you.
Musicians, stay please for a moment. And I'd like the roving mic taken to Greg Olson, if you would. If you wouldn't mind, Greg, just saying a prayer before I minister. But I'd like us to sing, "There's a New Day Dawning." Would you stand? It's on page 157. There's a New Day Dawning. Praise God. The age is ending upon this earth. The night is surely coming on. Did you find that? Page 157. It says... ending upon this earth, the night is surely coming on, but through the darkness a light does shine, the promise of the coming dawn. There's a new day dawning, there's a new day dawning, there's a new put it up a little bit to help our voices, but don't you feel a witness that something is changing in the earth today? Most of what concerns us is the glory that's changing. The glory of God is changing. The plan of God is becoming more and more revealed. The church is rising in newness of life. And the other things will collapse as they should, but the church will be the church. Praise His name. The light that shines to each man's heart is Jesus Christ the Lord. The light that shines to each man's heart is Jesus Christ the Lord. At His coming will be revealed the promise of the kingdom age. There's a new day dawning, there's a new day dawning, there's a new day of glory, this kingdom age, when all around I see the saints of God all set free, the precious promise of liberty. There's a new Greg, would you pray, please?
Dear Lord, we're so thankful for your presence here this week and this morning. Lord, we feel so unworthy. We just, the blessings that you bestowed upon all of us and heaped upon us, oh Lord.
Yes, God.
We thank you with all of our hearts that we can sit here and bathe in thy anointing.
Yes, God.
We just thank you, Lord. We pray that you would continue that through the rest of this week and bless us this morning and bless Brian as he speaks to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may may be seated. Thank you, musicians, so much. It's been a great privilege for Marjorie and me to be here at Pine Low, and I was just doing a review of how blessed we all feel. I thought of two smiles that, and every smile in between, and the youngest smile for me is, and there's Beckett, but I thought of Vera. She would just smile at me in such a wonderful way. And then there's Sister Mamie and her smile. And all across the generations, such a joy God is giving us in being together, and the thrill of all that God is doing. It really is an unspeakable privilege, and like Greg prayed, we just are in awe and really don't know how to comprehend how we're so fortunate that God would just share the little bit that we know, which just means so much, and to share Christ the way He has. It just seems like God has been painting a portrait of who Christ is and what the church is and what is coming ahead of us. And you know, if we can really grasp the power of God, it's just going to be glory. Because as we see the unraveling of the things of man, we will be knowing that our salvation is nearer than when we believed, and that it's actually bringing us closer to the redemption of all things through Christ. And those who are suffering and who are really at the bottom and perplexed and unable to help themselves, that their redemption is close too. And I think that God is putting a hunger in the church to fulfill the scripture as a church, that if God so loved the world that He gave, that we would also love the world so much, and we'll give ourselves to whatever Christ has for us and our little part to play in what God has in mind. And it's just staggering, isn't it, all that Christ has for us. Just to know the transformation that God is capable of in each of our hearts. Marjorie and I, in our devotions, recently went through the book of Hebrews, and it just seemed so deep that we felt we needed to go through it again, and I'm stuck there. Just really enjoying the book, and it just seems like the writer was really moved to send a message to the Jews of the time. The early church was all Jews at the very beginning, and eventually the Gentiles were added, but this writer had some concerns. And I think that in some ways, as I've been reading the book of Hebrews, I feel that it applies to us, because what the writer was saying is kind of encapsulated in the first verse of the first chapter, Hebrews 1:1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, and He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I believe that as we continue to study Hebrews privately, and the little bit that I've done, it seems like the writer is concerned that God began to bring change, and yet the Jews were putting a priority on things that needed to become secondary. In the past, they had been spoken to by prophets, they'd had angelic visitations, and they had Abraham, they had Moses, they had the law, and these things all were glorious and appropriate. But when Jesus came, everything changed. And that's the God that we serve, is He's a God that moves on, and He wants you and I to manage our priorities by the power of the Holy Spirit and not get stuck on things that served us for a time, but now God wants us to concentrate more and more on what's really, really going to help us, and it just is Jesus. It's just Him that is the answer for us, isn't it? And God wants us to concentrate on what's most important. But He had these concerns, and He wanted to help them get dislodged from things that were no longer going to aid them. You see, those things were temporarily helping them until Christ came. But then when Christ came, all things became new. And the old was necessary at a time. It's very much like scaffolding on a building, right? It's so important to have scaffolding on a building. But eventually, when the building's ready, it needs to be dismantled and removed, because the real is there. And the temporary thing served its purpose. So that's... I think that the concern was there, that the Hebrews were hanging on to their connection to Abraham. They were hanging on to the Moses and the Mosaic Law and things like that. And I think most of us who have studied the Scripture understand that. Maybe some of you young people that are here, I see you listening attentively, and we appreciate that. And many of you have your Bibles here, and that's a good thing. What was the writer's concern, and is it relevant today? And the writer lays out some spiritual facts here, and I'm not going to do a study with you necessarily, but it seems like he lays out, here are some facts about Christ and the appearance of Christ and how that affects the things that happened prior, and then how do we respond? And I found it interesting that in the book of Hebrews, the word therefore comes up many times, and the word therefore means for that reason. So he's laying something out, and then he says, therefore you must, and then he gives direction. And so that's what we see here, and every conclusion was to shift the emphasis away from secondary things to primary. And the therefore had a plan of action and then a warning. I don't think this is a surprise to any of us, but we are living in a worldly culture, not the church, but in a worldly culture where nobody wants to be coached. Nobody wants to be told, these are the facts, this is the way to walk in it. And that is simply symptomatic of the world's rebellion and ours. We have rebellion also. And God is wanting the church to be malleable. And when the Spirit of God says, you must begin to change, we must start to change. And I think of that scripture that we're familiar with, where Jesus said that broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way, and straight... I may be not quoting it properly, but it uses the word straight without the G-H in it, S-T-R-A-I-T. And that's a different word than the one that's talking about something that doesn't turn to the left or the right. This straight means that there are limitations, there are borders, there are edges to this. And as we go on the road that gets narrower and narrower, we have to keep centering ourselves into the will of God, because things that used to be something that God winked at in ignorance, He's now asking us to let go of. He's asking us to be straightened, to take on limitations. Those of you young people and children here who may be aware of the Olympic Games that are about to happen, maybe tomorrow do they start? Today they start. There are runners there. I did a little bit of running, and don't laugh, but I said don't laugh. But I had to, I would sometimes stand at the start line and just look around at these tall guys and just say to myself, they don't know I'm going to beat them. Occasionally I was right. But I love to run. But I never at an Olympic level, but I've tried to imagine that if tomorrow I was an Olympic runner and tomorrow I had a race, I would not go and sit down at Pizza Hut and have a big wad of pizza. I would be straightening myself. I'd be limiting myself, and I would be changing my conduct because the prize is so important. And that I would have to let things out of my life that in themselves are not bad, but could interfere with achieving the prize. And that's what God is after, is there is a wonderful prize here for humanity. I'm thankful to God that He's taught us that Satan will have no victory in the end. And that, as it says in Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, God will restore all things to Himself. And it'll be a complete victory in Christ. But in the meantime, as we have this calling upon us, we have to straighten ourselves. We have to limit ourselves. And there's things you might, young people, you might see other Christians that are doing today, and you feel a witness in your heart that you can't do that. And that's because the Holy Spirit is straightening you. You have a goal, and you have something that you're reaching for, and you know that some of these things, they may be good in themselves, but like our brother Nathaniel said last night, they may rob us of our time and make it so that we can't be devoted to Christ the way we wish. So we have that straightening. And here I just might mention to you that on that straight and narrow way, I found there are two ditches. And that even if I'm pressing towards Christ, if I don't keep centering myself, I can fall into the deception of extreme Christianity. And I was there once. I fell into that at one time. And it took the power of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the apostles to help me. And it was a beautiful thing what God did, but I really needed to be rescued. I'd fallen into that ditch, and I'd been tempted, and Satan had drawn me away, and I gave in. But thank God for the foundational ministry. Praise God. And that's our safety. It says that He gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers so that the cunning craftiness whereby men lie in wait to deceive, we wouldn't fall for those things. And so we have that. On the other side is our fleshly weaknesses, our pride, our temptations, and that ditch I've also been in. And perhaps we can all relate to that we've had to get help from God and repent and say, God, I failed and I slipped into a ditch of sin. Please help me, Lord. I want to get back and centered in Christ. And the wonderful thing about our Lord is that He's so patient, and He does help us, and He wants us in the center of His will. So we've got that road to be on. And I say this again to every one of us, that what might work for other Christians now won't be working for you.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got to have that prize set before us and keep things out of our lives that will interfere. And the same thing will happen with them. Eventually, we'll all end up having to just have only Christ in our lives and let go of these other things. But anyway, let's just look at one of the first therefores, and that's in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. This is the New King James. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. That means very clearly that God is wanting us to be continually paying attention to the moving of the Spirit and paying attention to the revelation that God is unfolding and not ignore it. Saints of God, if you feel that you have a revelation that's different than the apostolic brethren, then either you should share it or give it up. Because I have seen in the course of my life people who thought they knew better than the apostolic brethren, and they fell into shipwreck. And God has given us that safety net of the fivefold ministry to protect us. And He wants us to give serious consideration to the things we have heard. Amen. Lest we drift away. Now this is the word drift away here, or the idea is from the nautical, from a ship that's trying to find a harbor, and it's moving in the direction of the harbor, but it just isn't, the captain isn't paying attention and he misses the harbor. And that's that drifting away, and we need to be attentive. May I say this, that Christianity should be the most intellectual part of your life. It should be thrilling on a cognitive level, but based on faith, not based on intellect. I want to ask you a question. Does this meet with logic? If intellect was the basis of understanding God, then the smartest people would be the most godly people. Is that fair logic? But it's not the case. And so our logic and our intellect, our reasoning, it's like our faith is in the driver's seat and our intellect is in the passenger seat. And we let our faith inform our understanding. But there's nothing wrong with you having a great intellectual appetite for the things of God, but based on faith and established on the foundation of apostles, of prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So we have that warning that we don't drift away. And then it goes on to say, and Brother Nat read this in verse 10, of chapter 2, for it was fitting for him, speaking of Jesus, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, the part that I want to concentrate on is that the intent of God is to bring many sons to glory. And that's the prize, isn't it? That's the prize that we are looking for. Maybe now is an okay time to mention this, that we don't talk very much about the coming of the Lord. Personally, I don't understand as much maybe as some of you do about it. But the Lord will return. He will come again and every eye will behold Him. It won't be on television because It will be in the spiritual realm, and because humans are spiritual beings, every eye will see Him come. But there will be Christians who are ready and who will have been perfected in Christ. And the Scriptures substantiates that, as it says that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And that's what God wants, isn't it? Is that you and I would lend ourselves to God to such an extent that when Jesus comes, that corporately and individually, we will have been perfected in Christ. That is staggering to the natural mind, and many people struggle with that concept. But by faith, we know the Word of God is true. that he will bring forth a people. And that people will simply be a proof that God is capable of perfecting people. And it will be just a beginning of a great, great influx and a great ingathering of believers and a perfecting of believers. I just see, I don't know if we'll be able to contain ourselves when we see this begin to unfold. And of course, we enjoy reading in Romans chapter 8 where it talks about the sons of God coming into their own and the whole of created life entering into that sonship experience. And you know, we don't want it just for ourselves. Right? God wants it for all. Yeah. And do you? I think you do too, right? We want to see all of humanity set free. We're living, as I said, in an age of darkness, and there's a lot of hatred in the world today. Did I mention this already, that we had an oil spill in North Battleford, a very significant one upstream from North Battleford, and it's polluted. Merv and Irene, do you know how many miles or kilometers? It's gone up to Cumberland House already, I think, and just hundreds of miles of polluted river. And I think our premier of our province, he put out a statement, and I went and listened to it on the internet, and I'm thankful we have a godly man who's in charge of our province, and I have a lot of respect for him. But anyway, he responded as would be expected, and that they're moving on it, trying to get things fixed. But then I noticed underneath that people were tweeting or whatever they do underneath, and the amount of hatred that was written in there, just without reason. Humans were born to have reason, and there just wasn't reason there. And it was just pure hatred. And if somebody made a comment that somebody else didn't like, then they exchanged hatred. And praise God, we're going to see that just be gone. But we don't hate anyone. If we hate radical Muslims, then we've been radicalized by them. Right? We don't hate. The new nature in you, which is that marriage of Christ and you, is incapable of hating. Very capable of loving, capable of forgiving. But we need to see the big picture. And there are groups of people out there that are starting to hate Christians in our country, right? People who think that if we don't endorse what they're doing, we must hate them. But the hatred is mostly one-sided. We can't hate them. We can love them, and we must, and intercede for them, because we also were lost in sin. We didn't know any other way, but God is raising up His church all over the earth, people we don't even know, who are pressing into Christ and wanting to have the fullness of Christ in them. And when we come across other Christians, Brother Wager said this, and really blessed me. He said, whenever two Christians meet, there should be a flow of life both ways. Right? Nothing condescending a bit. And I think when we meet a sinner who doesn't know the Lord, they're just a Christian that hasn't been born yet. Right? And we should just love them the same way that Christ did, and with all of our hearts. And when we see their dilemma and their despair and the difficulty that they're in, like Brother Nat said last night, I think we should really remember this, that God's response to our rebellion was Jesus. And our response to their rebellion and their darkness should be Jesus and His love in us. Praise His name. Oh, praise God. So we don't want to drift away. God is going to bring many sons to glory, and He's in the process of doing that with us. And we have a tremendous responsibility to nurture and cherish what God has begun in us, and not flirt with the fringes and begin to water down and say, oh, I guess it's okay if I don't do this or that in the church. No, let's walk as one. If there's something that you don't understand that we walk in, don't throw it away. We've been taught just to put it on the shelf and begin to pray and ask God to reveal it to you, because we need to walk as one. God, there are many things that we've been taught. We don't want to be getting soft on any of them. And if what I'm saying now, without being specific, is specific in your heart, then that's what God is wanting to deal with. Right? And so, let me press on here. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, for that reason, holy brethren, I have no qualms, and I don't think anyone does, of referring to you as holy brothers and sisters, because Christ in you is perfect. Isn't that true? How could He be anything else? He hasn't completed the work in us, but we are holy through Him. Praise His name. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to Him who appointed Him. So what we need to do here is, considering everything that God has set up, keep Jesus at the center of what we consider. Always Jesus. He is the answer for humanity. And verse 7 starts with therefore. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Okay. I'm going to stop preaching and I'm going to talk. We still have a rebellious nature. We still want to do things our way. Do we consult Christ all day long, moment by moment? Or do we do a lot of things still by just consulting ourselves? I do. And I remember the young brother I met briefly in North Battleford, and he said, I don't want Jesus just tagging along in my life anymore. He wanted Jesus to lead everything. And that spoke to me. I'm sure I've shared it many times, but it just spoke to me. And maybe you feel the same way. I just don't want to bring Him along. I want to go with Him through everything. Praise His name. But we are capable. I want to say this, that I am not going to bring up some of the topics that need to be addressed. Because we need to groom our hearts, I'm afraid we would have a rebellious reaction and we would maybe resist what God is wanting to do. So I'm not going to say it. But we have some work to do to walk in the unity of the Spirit and to come out from among them and be separate and to be not worldly and not conforming to the world and not squeezed into its mold and not enjoying what the world enjoys. When I was a younger person, It was wrong for a Christian to watch the James Bond movies because they were pornography. Right. They haven't changed, nor has humanity, and they're damaging. to Christians. And I think we need to do a review of what we are allowing in our lives that's just crept in, that drift. How many of you young people have heard the, maybe my brother Brody can tell me, have you ever heard of the analogy of the camel and the tent? To your recollection? Okay. So there's this guy who's riding on his camel, and he's going through the Sahara Desert, and all of a sudden a big storm comes up, and he gets off the camel, and he's got his tent packed there. And so he sets up his tent before the storm arrives, and then he climbs inside and closes it tight, and then the wind begins to howl. All of a sudden there's a nudge on the edge of the tent, and the camel is really having a struggle with this storm. And the camel owner feels a bit sorry for him, so he opens the tent just enough so the camel can get his nose inside and not have to worry about breathing the dust. Okay? So then the camel has his nose in the tent, but then the camel starts to push a bit more, and the owner realizes, well, his eyes are still out in the storm, so he lets the camel's eyes come in. And the end of the story is that the camel's in the tent and the man is out. And it's a good analogy, but that's what happens. Satan's way of working his way into our lives is little by little by little, and we aren't ignorant of his devices. So we have to be careful and not harden our hearts. Chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear. Fair enough? Let us fear, lest any of you seem to fall short of it, to come short of it. That's a warning. It is possible to know what we know today and bask in this anointing today, but if we entertain rebellion, then we are susceptible to deception. That's how it works. That's definitely how it works. So, I'm just going to leave Hebrews for a bit, and I want to, there's a scripture, I won't have you turn to it, but it's 2 Corinthians 4 and 2. And it, Paul says there, we should renounce secret and shameful ways. Marjorie and I had an interesting experience not so long ago. We were asked by a couple to perform the wedding. The man asked me if I would perform the wedding, and he had been our neighbor and had become very dear to us, but fell into a lot of trouble, without going into a lot of detail, was in a lot of trouble. And in that situation, he found Christ. And I was thankful that when I would get together with him after he found Christ, that he just loved to worship and praise God out loud and to sing, and he had his Bible all lined and marked up. So you likely know that when elders or brethren are asked to perform a wedding, that then there's a series of counseling sessions, and the brethren have put together a book, a manual that has 9 items in it to do with preparing for marriage, and they're all excellent. So we met with this couple, and we'd never met her before, a beautiful lady. And as we started, the first section is on faith. And so I asked them both to just speak a little bit to their experience in Christ. And so the man, he's kind of a new Christian, and he said a few things about being a Christian, but I had no doubt in my mind. And then the woman said, well, I'm not a Christian. I believe in native spirituality. And she was a native girl. And she said that she felt she had a gift, and that she would hear voices speaking to her. I was a little bit daunted by this. I knew this, that you cannot join an unbeliever to a believer, because you are joining someone to Christ who is not of Christ. Can't be done. You can't join an unbeliever. It says that in the scripture, that they can't be yoked together. So we had to stop the session right there. The wedding date had already been set, but we couldn't proceed. So I just said to the couple, Marjorie and I said we would have to review how to proceed from here. And so we left them and went and talked to Brother Sunbow and our elders. And I said, there's a man in North Battleford. He's a Cree, spirit-filled, wonderful brother. And would it be okay if we went to him and he could help us? Because I thought it was really important that it was a Native man helping a Native woman, because it gets complicated these days, right, to be seen as oppressive. I didn't want to bring that upon Christ. So the elders and Brother Sunbow felt that would be good. So we had Brian come over and join us for the next session. And he just began to speak to her just in a lovely, lovely way, a very loving man, gentle, tremendous reputation in the community, and him and his wife both. And so he just began to talk to her, and he said to her, you know, I was that way once, where I was into Native spirituality. And rather than go into a long description, he took probably half an hour or more, I think, to speak to her. And he said, us Native people, we really believe in the Creator. But he said, I want you to know that that Creator has a name, and his name is Jesus. And then just gently he began to talk to her about these things. She said, I believe I have gifts in Native spirituality. And he said, you know, if you'll turn your life over to Jesus, he'll give you much, much better gifts than that. And so then he talked about an experience that he'd had. And I want to share this with you, because we need to begin to learn how to operate in the realm of the Spirit when it's the opposition from the enemy. And so he said that he got a phone call from across the river in the town of Battleford, and a lady and a Christian couple there, a man and wife, said that they had a room in their house that would never warm up, no matter what they did to get the furnace going or whatever they did. That room just stayed frigid cold. And they said that things would fall there that there was no explanation for. And so they were suspicious that it was a spiritual issue. So he said to them, I think over the phone, as far as you know, is there anything in the room that might not be appropriate for a Christian to have? And I think it was the wife who said, I don't think so. And then he said, is there anything there that during a smudge they took a feather and wafted the smoke on? Oh, there is, she said. She said, there are two quilts in there that were given to me to give as gifts to someone else, but one of the Native spirit men, or whatever their title is, had taken a feather and wafted smoke over it. And Brian Arcand said the same demonic spirit that controlled that man was then also inhabiting these quilts, and that all that they had to do was take and trash them. It was very simple. But it just was an eye-opener for me what he had to deal with. And so he just said to her, and this is what I felt was one important word for us on our journey here. He said, I'd like to help you to renounce those things and to give your life to Christ. And I don't know when she said yes, if she knew what she was getting out of or getting into, but God did, and he did. And so we just joined hands and prayed with her, and he led her to renounce those things. He just used that word, and to accept Christ, and she accepted Christ, and we were able to proceed with the wedding. Praise the Lord. And we need to be knowledgeable, I believe, and God's going to begin to open to us wisdom on how to deal with these things. But we as Christians, if we've been dabbling on the edges, and if we've been tolerating sin in our life, we need to renounce it before Christ and repent. And I tell you, since that time, God has been... I guess one of the reasons I feel I can talk to you about this a bit is that God has been taking me back through my life by the Holy Spirit and just gently bringing to my attention many, many things that I needed to deal with. And He's been patiently waiting for me and just step by step by step, almost every day, bringing just lovingly and gently things to my attention. And when they would come, I would just renounce them. I feel so different in the Lord today because it feels like something has been lifted off of me that I just didn't need to carry anymore. Excuse me for being emotional. It's the only time you'll ever see it. But another thing that I learned is that we need to begin to work together with other Christians. Not to abandon the calling that we have, but to learn to walk with believers in honor. Because I believe that when God said at the beginning of this move that there would be a coming together of the body of Christ, it wasn't the coming together of the body of Christ to us. It was the coming together of the body of Christ to Him, to Jesus. And God wants us to renounce the things that don't belong in our lives. And as the Holy Spirit deals with you, you'll find He's so sweet and so gentle and so loving and no condemnation. Just love and help and a Father just coaching you and helping you. And you won't regret anything that you give up for Him. And He'll give you so much more when you do that. But we need, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. The world has gotten very soft on things. And I want to just mention something that's kind of hard to mention from the front. But that is sexual sin is a difficult thing if you get caught in it, because it seems like it's different than almost any other sin. It is so deceptive. God wants human beings to be male and female. He loves that about us. He wants us to be sexual in our marriages. He wants us to be enjoying what God has given us. But it must remain within marriage. And here's the thing, is that if two people are involved in fornication before they're married and get married, it hasn't solved the fornication, because they have to repent. They have to repent. It doesn't go away till you deal with it in Christ. We need the continual washing of Christ in our lives, the washing of the Word. We have no reluctance to shower, to wash our hands, to wash our hair. We love to be clean as humans. And there's something in us that loves to be clean in Christ. We need that cleansing. And so by repentance, and by renouncing, and then by worshiping God and praising Him, these things can be washed away. Sexual sin takes a severe toll on a Christian's faith. Brother York said this to me, that he observed that people who ignored that from the Scripture, it began to distort their understanding of the truth, and pretty soon they could not comprehend truth as it is. And they began to believe lies. And that lines up with Scripture. And all sin has that impact on us. And you may have heard me say this before, but I don't believe that there are addictive personalities, I believe the carnal nature is addictive. And we are a danger to ourselves unless we are continually at the foot of the cross, washing and being washed by the blood of the Lamb. God is not intimidated by anything you've done. He isn't ashamed of you. He isn't condemning of you. He, at the very heart of his heart, is mercy. Mercy is one of the greatest expressions of love. And God wants you and I to be filled with that love and that mercy. I'd like us to conclude, if the musicians would come and we could sing together, to bless your heart, Lord God, is my desire. Is there some singers who know this quite well? Because I stumble with it. I don't think it's in our books anywhere. Oh, it's in the blue book? Marjorie and Sherry, would you come and... That's my desire, is it? Okay, it's in the red book under That's My Desire. I think that might be a different one. Would you stand, please, and in light of what God's been speaking to us, just rededicate yourself to the Lord and let the washing happen right now. The blood of Christ is here, and He loves you, and He wants to walk with you till you're perfected in Him. He'll take you all the way. Praise His name.
It says,
Brother Dan Levson, would you come and just lead us in a prayer of rededication and close the meeting, if you would, please. And We'll sing it again as you're coming. To bless
God. Father, we dedicate our lives to you once again. Lord, we know that we need to do this often.
Yes.
We know about the sin that so easily besets us that your word speaks of.
Yes.
And we know, Lord, that you are longing that not only would we be clothed with robes of righteousness, yes, but that we would be an expression, yes, of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
From our inner being. And so, Lord, we pray today, Lord, and we do thank you for robes of righteousness, and we thank you for the blood of Christ.
Yes.
We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, O Father.
Yes, God.
But we long that we may move into a new experience,
yes,
in you, Lord, where you transform us,
yes,
from our human sinful state into that manifested Son and sons of God, Lord, that you've called us to become in your word. Lord, it's your call, it's your promise, it's your desire for all, Lord, eventually to come into you. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, help us to devote ourselves fully to this, as we've heard admonishment here this morning, to set aside all those other things that are really, in the light of time, will just fade away and have very little value. Help us to set our eyes upon those things that are eternal and belong to you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Help us in our weakness. Help us to be repentant at every hand, Lord, to turn away from sin and be clean and totally clean in every way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, Lord.
You may be seated. Are there announcements? Daryl? Andy?
Okay, water baptism today at 1:30. It'll be down at the lake. You'll have time to have your dinner, and you can just come on down to the lake and witness and participate in the water baptism. We have some candidates. During the water baptism, if there's anybody here that wants to be baptized at the last minute, it's okay. It's okay right at the last minute to make that decision. So that'll be at 1:30. You're all invited just to come down from the dining hall down to the lake for the water baptism.
I'm making the announcement for the children today. Good job. I see all your eyes. That's great. Today is something new again. All right, so today at 3:30, so you have that time in your head, 3:30, okay? I want the 6 to 12-year-olds here. Okay, so like I said, it's something new. So we're going to be here, and we need your pencils and your Bibles. We didn't get to use them, our Bibles, yesterday as much as we thought we would, but today that's the plan. So today we need your pencils and your Bibles at 3:30. Here. Okay. And then the preschoolers, we had some songs that we were working with them and some little games with them, just fun time with them. We're doing that again at the place by the dining hall where they run around before the lunches. And that's at 4:15. So that's the plan for the preschoolers, is to meet just by the dining hall there in that little room where the popcorn machine is at 4:15.
You're from the USA. Would you raise your hands? Well, today you're going to get to see your national bird, if you want. Dave Zwack and myself, we scouted an area out for you for our time today. So I have probably an 80% chance of you seeing it or higher, because there's an eagle's nest, and the eagle was there two times, and an osprey's nest nearby, and you might see the osprey if you're lucky. I don't know. We didn't yet, but okay, I got you. I've got Afterbite with me and Watkins medicated ointment. Okay, so so what if you forgot your sunscreen? We're going to teach you some things about plants if you're interested. What if you forgot sunscreen and didn't want to go to Loon Lake to get it? I can tell you exactly how you can get some to protect yourself. What if you got a headache and you didn't want to go and get an aspirin? I can tell you exactly what you could do with a plant that will help you. There are plants that are used for depression that we can show you some of these. We can show the beautiful flowers and tell you some of the names and some of the things about them. I just got two more quick ones. You need to know which plant is deadly. A cow will die in 1 minute if it eats the roots of it. And there's a plant that looks just like it. You need to know the rules of what berries you can eat and what you can't. I guess there's too many that I could keep going, but I'll let you come if you would like to today. So David Zwack, my brother Vic Lefson, and myself will be there, and we're going to drive, and this is going to be the gentle hike. The medium hike people can come too if you want, but it's just really gentle. We won't really be hiking. We're going to drive along the lake on this side to see that eagle first and the osprey nest and that, and see a few other things along there first. If we have time, then we're going to come back around this side of the lake and see a bunch more flowers at the end of the lake. So we'll be basically driving and getting out and seeing those things and talking about it. So, what's that? No, there's bees right on the lawn out here. I can't promise that. So, I like long pants because of that reason, but and other reasons, but it's up to you. Water, maybe. So, let's just walk out of the car. So for number of people to go, I need to know the number of vehicles that might be interested.